Ahead of President-elect Lai Ching-te's inauguration on May 20th, Premier-designate Zhou Rongtai on Friday announced five new cabinet appointments. Most notably, the new culture minister will be novelist and screenwriter Li Yuan, better known as Xiao Ye, who has links with the camp of opposition TPP chairman Ke Wen-je.
Li once headed Ke's re-election campaign for Taipei mayor. The appointment may be DPP's way of tossing Ke's camp a bone, as his party holds the balance of power in the legislature. But Li insists he doesn't have any political affiliations.
On Friday, a second round of new cabinet appointments was announced by Premier-designate Zhou Rongtai. One of the highlights was Xiao Ye as culture minister. The writer, whose birth name is Li Yuan, once served as the director for Ke Wen-je's re-election campaign as Taipei mayor.
这对文化人来讲,
Cultural people find that the public sector actually has a different working environment. But I am very glad that Li Yuan decided to join our Action Innovation Cabinet without hesitation, following careful consideration. I was only asked about this after the beginning of April. I hesitated for a long time, because my family was very worried, as they thought I should not be taking on any official duties at this time. I don't know why people kept asking Ke Wen-je about this. In fact, the reason why they solicited me, they said, was that I had worked in movies and television, and have written more than 100 literary works of my own. I don't belong to any political party or have any political affiliation.
In addition to recruiting Xiao Ye to realize President-elect Lai Ching-te's vision of a grand democratic alliance, the second round of new appointments also includes former lawmaker Liu Shifang, who will take over the Interior Ministry, Taiwan's largest agency. Meanwhile, current Executive UN Secretary-General Li Mengyan will be Transport Minister. The Chief Prosecutor at the Taipei District Prosecutor's Office, Zheng Ming-chen, will serve as Justice Minister, while Zheng Ying-yao, the President of National Sun Yat-sen University, who has twice served as the Head of Education for the Kaohsiung City Government, will be the new Education Minister.
In the future, we'll have to refer to her as Minister Shifang. She has experience in regional governance in Taiwan's northern, central, and southern regions, as well as the outlying islands. Minister Shifang will be entrusted with the most difficult responsibilities, issues relating to corruption, gambling, public security, and campus safety.
Seeing that there are only 38 days left before Inauguration Day, there are many rumors flying in the media, as several appointments still have not been announced.
If I haven't mentioned anything officially and if a name crops up, it would be extremely awkward, especially if I consult a particular person for the job while another person's name appears in the media. When we first meet face to face, it will be very embarrassing. The person will wonder if they are a backup or if I have any more backups in store.
No one knows when the new cabinet will be finalized. Zhuo can only say that it will be done before May 20th.
U.S. President Joe Biden hosted Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida and Philippines President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in a White House summit Thursday, sending a clear message to Beijing to stop behaving aggressively against its neighbors in the South China Sea.
Leaders focused on dealing with Chinese so-called gray zone tactics of intimidation that fall dangerously close to triggering a mutual defense treaty between Washington and Manila. Voice of America's Patsy Widal-Kuswala has the story.
Ramped up aggression in the South China Sea, with Chinese Coast Guard vessels deploying water cannons and performing other dangerous maneuvers on Philippine boats. It was a focus of the trilateral summit Thursday between President Joe Biden and leaders of two U.S. allies in Asia, Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida and Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr.
Any attack on Philippine aircraft, vessels, or armed forces in the South China Sea would invoke our mutual defense treaty.
China's so-called gray zone tactics of intimidation, including ramming into ships, fall dangerously close to triggering the mutual defense treaty between Washington and Manila. Marcos did not publicly mention China, but couched his words in diplomatic terms often used to target Beijing.
Facing the complex challenges of our time requires concerted efforts on everyone's part, a dedication to a common purpose, and an unwavering commitment to the rules-based international order.
Kishida is concerned with similar Chinese tactics around disputed islands in the East China Sea, called Diaoyu in China and Senkaku in Japan.
In the midst of compound crisis faced by the global community, multi-layered cooperation between allies and like-minded countries is essential if we are to maintain and bolster a free and open international order based on the rule of law.
Last week, the Philippines, the U.S., Japan, and Australia held joint naval and air operations in the South China Sea to deter Beijing, prompting criticism by Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning.
China is resolutely opposed to the Cold War mentality and bloc politics, and to words and deeds that make and exacerbate contradictions and undermine other countries' strategic security and interests.
Biden, Marcos, and Kishida announced new maritime defense deterrence measures alongside infrastructure investments in the Philippines and collaboration on global humanitarian assistance efforts. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
For the first time in 9 years, more flight options are coming to Kaohsiung International Airport. On Friday, EVA Air inaugurated a new direct flight route to Hong Kong in hopes of attracting more visitors to Taiwan.
And just in time for the summer break, TUI and Vietjet Air will be launching flights to South Korea and Vietnam from the southern port city.
For the first time in 9 years, EVA Air has launched a new flight route from Kaohsiung, its destination, Hong Kong. On Friday, the maiden flight took off packed with passengers, some of whom were simply there for the experience.
I'm actually going to Taipei. I'll be transferring flights in Hong Kong. I just wanted to go on the first flight. It's an interesting experience. After all, if more airlines have flights, ticket prices could become cheaper. So the more airlines, the better.
With the pandemic a thing of the past, several airlines have launched flights to new destinations from Kaohsiung. From June 21st, TUI Air will be operating direct flights to Seoul. And starting June 14th, Vietjet Air will start flying to Phuquoc.
We hope to attract more tourists from Hong Kong with this arrangement, which includes the flight routes to and from Taoyuan International Airport. They can enter Taiwan via Kaohsiung and leave from Taoyuan, or arrive from Taoyuan and return from Kaohsiung. This could all help boost Taiwan tourism. The number of flights is back to 70% of pre-pandemic levels. We have also been receiving a lot of messages with proposals to increase flight numbers and flight routes, so we should all take advantage of these opportunities.
Kaohsiung International Airport expects traveler numbers to grow with the new destinations on offer. Officials say they are optimistic about the resumption of all flight routes that were cancelled during the pandemic, adding that they will make efforts toward that while maintaining flight safety.
The Taipei Dome will be hosting its first ever professional league basketball game this Saturday. The inaugural match will be a face-off between the new Taipei CTBC DEA and the Taipei Taishin Mars of the T1 League.
On Friday afternoon, the players had a look at the installations and played on the court to get familiar with the venue. They say they are very excited to be playing in the new stadium this weekend. Let's hear from them.
I was really stunned when I stepped in. I've never been in such a large stadium before. We're going to be playing basketball on a court that's been set on a baseball field. I'm very excited. I want to enjoy these 2 days, the whole 48 minutes of each game. They let us play here, so of course we're going to come. Of course, the prep work took a lot of time. We hope that once the games start, basketball fans from all over can come together to witness this debut of Taiwan basketball at the Taipei Dome.
Everything from the floor of the court to the hoops at New Taipei Dome were relocated from Xingzhuang Gymnasium piece by piece. According to the coach of the new Taipei CTBC DEA, the move cost more than 10 million NT dollars and required the labor of 300 people. Dancing underwater isn't easy to begin with, but what about staging an entire drama?
At one sports center, performers have created Taiwan's first play staged entirely underwater. It's streamed via underwater camera.
Complete with music and narration, the performers set the scene for a new form of artistic diving.
Dancers are rehearsing by the pool. No, you didn't see that wrong. In a moment, they're about to submerge 5 meters underwater. Aquatic dancing is a new art form itself. But now they are also incorporating a plot to create a full stage play.
After training to be an aquatic dancing coach, I wanted to create a more performative style, so I thought of staging a play in order to incorporate some emotion. It can attract a greater audience this way. I think apart from dancing, there are a lot of performances of movements you can't do on land but can be done in the water.
Taiwan's first aquatic drama was staged at a local sports center. The performers need a basic level of ability to participate, but they live scattered across the country and admit that they don't have much time to practice together.
This is an ensemble performance, so I think our tacit understanding of each other, such as time spent underwater, time holding our breath and cooperation is very important.
As the stage is in a diving pool, the performance is captured on an underwater camera and projected on the screen. Paired with music and narration, audiences are immersed into the story and treated to a feast for the senses.
Three people remain unaccounted for after last week's deadly earthquake in Hualien. Two of them are a Singaporean couple who are thought to be near the 2.2-kilometer mark on the Shakadang Trail in Taroko National Park.
Search operations continue in the area, though on Friday afternoon, rescuers were interrupted by falling rocks. No injuries have been reported. Let's hear from Hualien County's Fire Department.
When we were carrying out search operations before, rocks were only falling on the other side of the river. But today, as we were on the job, rocks started falling from above on our side of the river. So we blew whistles to warn our colleagues and the rescue dogs to shelter in place.
And rock falls also added difficulty in the search for the third missing person in a quarry in Shouling Township. Some of the rocks damaged an excavator used to clear debris, delaying progress on the search. But rescuers have not given up hope, saying they will keep working to find all the missing people. Kaohsiung Municipal Mingshan Hospital has been slapped with a fine of $500,000 NT dollars after it was found that a surgery had been performed on the wrong patient earlier this month. The medical personnel involved, including the surgeon, had skipped the SOP and failed to confirm the patient's identity before the operation.
It was also later found that the surgeon involved had asked the patient to sign a surgery consent form after the matter. Needless to say, the surgeon in question has been fired.
The patient had been transferred from a care center to Kaohsiung Municipal Mingshan Hospital, where he was confused for another patient in his ward. In the operating theater, neither the nurses, the anesthesiologist, nor the surgeon confirmed the patient's identity as required.
Usually you have to wait until the nurses in the operating room call the ward staff. If the procedures aren't followed, that could throw the whole process into disarray. The patient affected didn't have any relatives with him and didn't have resources to hire a caregiver. He's a stroke patient, so he also couldn't speak.
Kaohsiung Mayor Chen Qi-mai and Premier Chen Jianren have condemned the incident.
This was a very basic mistake on the part of Mingshan Hospital. It's very unprofessional. It shows there were oversights on the management front. Mingshan Hospital performed an operation on the wrong patient. This is unforgivable. It is unimaginable that the standard operating procedures were not followed. We will continue to improve medical staff training. In medical settings, every single step of the established standard procedures has to be followed.
It was also found that the surgeon had asked the patient to sign the operation consent form after surgery had already been performed.
We found that the surgeon had not only operated on the wrong patient, but also falsified the patient's medical records. After a review, the surgeon received another major demerit for a total of 2 and was dismissed.
All consultations for the surgeon involved in the incident have been cancelled. The city's health department has issued the hospital a fine of 500,000 NT, taken disciplinary action against management, and removed the superintendent from his post.
An elementary school in Geelong is teaching kids a traditional Indonesian instrument. The angklung is the bamboo zither with a unique sound.
The class at Bado Elementary lets kids learn music from several Southeast Asian countries as part of a multicultural curriculum. After 7 years, the class is flourishing.
Students and teachers hope the little orchestra they formed will have more opportunity to show off their skills on bigger stages.
Bamboo tubes vibrate against each other, producing a delightful harmony. The school is filled with a gentle yet lively tune. Directed by their teacher, these students are memorizing the position of each note and learning how to make this instrument sing under their fingers. The angklung is a traditional Indonesian instrument, also known as the bamboo zither. Cut bamboo tubes are vibrated with the fingers and tap each other, producing different frequencies. It's a designated piece of intangible world heritage.
Seven years ago,
Bado Elementary School in Geelong began to teach multicultural classes in line with the new southbound policy. New classes in the angklung began, introducing students to the music of some of Taiwan's neighbors in Southeast Asia.
In this class, they learn how to use traditional musical instruments from different Southeast Asian countries. So in our multicultural society, our classes let them grow in wisdom and broaden their perspectives. In the future, Bado Elementary wants to take it even further and have even better opportunities for performance so that everyone in Taiwan or even all around the world can see us.
These music lessons are enabling kids to dip their toe into different fields and learn about the cultures and musical heritage of their close neighbors overseas.
The 2024 Taiwan International Festival of Arts is back in action, featuring a total of 14 performances from Taiwan and abroad.
One play titled This Is Not an Embassy aims to introduce Taiwan's complex political situation to the world. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang has more.
A former diplomat, Taiwanese digital activist and musician, tells stories of Taiwan's political and diplomatic history. The 2024 Taiwan International Festival of Arts is back in action. This stage production titled This Is Not an Embassy is a joint production between Taiwan's National Theatre and Concert Hall and Germany's Rimini Protocol and Switzerland's Theatre Vidi Lausanne. Teams worked together for 2 years to produce the work. They interviewed diplomats, soldiers, and secret agents to learn about Taiwan.
Project that tries to portray how Taiwan has a very complex situation in the world, being a country not recognized as a country. And I find Taiwanese have found so good creative solutions of how you manage to put yourself on the map through creative forms in NGOs, in civil society, from people to people. And culture actually can do this as well. So we have made a project that set up an embassy in countries where you don't have a real embassy for the duration of a performance. And this has created a lot of human bindings.
Should we be called Taiwan or the Republic of China? What should the national flag look like? This has different meanings and notions for people of different eras. We are introducing the complex political situation of Taiwan to people in the world. But at the same time, we are showing the greatness of Taiwan. Everyone can have their own beliefs.
The show will be performed in Taiwan from April 12th to 14th. It will also be performed in Switzerland, South Korea, Germany, France, Australia, Spain, and other countries. Each production will be tailored to the country in which it is performed.
Each time we will perform in a new city, we will open a new embassy of Taiwan for the duration of the show. And for all these opening of new embassies, we will adapt the show to the local situation. So each time we have to reflect on the local stories and the local connections to Taiwanese history, to Taiwan situation, and also to China.
During the festival, there will be a total of 14 performances. The performing groups and artists hail from Taiwan, the US, Japan, Germany, India, Switzerland, Spain, Ukraine, South Korea, and Australia, among other countries. The 2024 Taiwan International Festival of Arts will run till May 11th. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Yang Kai in Taipei.